With elections not too far off, there's been the usual back and forth about candidate debates lately. Some are proposing Michigan consider a state debate commission to coordinate and bolster the electoral process here in Michigan. Here to talk about this idea and to touch a bit on what's been happening on other fronts this week at the state capitol, managing editor for the Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Mark.
Who's having this discussion about a debate commission?
Well, not a lot of people, as a matter of fact, and maybe that's one reason why we're not seeing a lot of progress on it. There has long, for a very, very long time in Michigan, been a lot of frustrations that we really don't have a mechanism to force candidates into an open forum to answer questions, that really the Michigan system, if you could call it a system, basically leaves all the control with the campaigns and the candidates. Any entity, any TV or radio station, newspaper, citizens organization that would like to sponsor a debate basically puts in a request to all of the relevant campaigns in a primary or for the general election. And then they take those and they start negotiating, the campaigns do, with each other about the terms, how many, who will participate, what topics might be covered, and who will get to ask the questions. So everything is with the political class to try and to design a debate format that meets their own ends, but not necessarily the ends of the voters who are trying to make a decision.
But right now, let's clarify, it's really no one's responsibility. No one is charged with making debates, political debates, happen in Michigan right now.
No, we don't have a debate commission like the Presidential Debate Commission, or like Indiana actually has a pretty unique system that they have a not-for-profit organization that actually arranges debates, buys a TV signal, and puts it up for anyone to follow. Utah has a debate commission, and what they do is they have partner organizations, TV stations, newspapers that agree to carry, well, I mean, the TV stations carry the debate live and archive it. Michigan does not have something like that.
So does the, you suggested a minute ago that this is a pretty ad hoc, disorganized discussion right now. Does it have legs amongst members of the legislature, amongst any interest groups or the political parties themselves?
No. I mean, in a word, that there is not a lot of support for it. And I know a lot of people who are interested in this, that tiny sliver of the population are saying that, we should pressure the politicians to do something like that. And I will humbly submit that maybe that's putting their efforts in the wrong direction. And you know, what the public ought to do is pressure the news media, and especially the broadcast news media, to come up with a community system to create a command performance debate. What happens right now is broadcast stations, among others, put in their own debate requests, and they would rather own the entire debate, whether it's for the state or for a regional race like Congress, they would rather own the entire debate than share it with others. And, efforts to try and bring everyone together to do something like that, and full disclosure, I have been involved in those from time to time, have failed. But this is something that could easily be driven by the news media, especially the broadcast news media in Michigan, if it was of a mind to do so in the public interest.
So is there a consensus that it is first the responsibility of the media for debates to happen?
There is no consensus on any of this. It's not, I mean, there are people who are frustrated who believe that the public is not served by how it works right now. But, you really don't see the public, banging on the door of the state capitol or their local TV station or newspaper or whatever, demanding debates. And that's the sort of activity that would, necessarily drive that.
How do stakeholders in other states, I mean, you referred to Indiana's debate commission a second ago. It hasn't been around a long time, I understand, but are they generally is the public generally satisfied with what's happened in Indiana, for example?
Well, I don't know how the Indiana public feels about it, but they've been doing debates since 2008, and you know they're still at it. That they are, you know, that they survive based on public support and public contributions, and so they're still there. So they must be doing they must be doing something right. And another thing, though, that you know, once you do it the first time, then there's an expectation set that a Michigan gubernatorial campaign, a Michigan Senate campaign, you know, will have a minimum of three debates, and you know this will be the format. I don't know that necessarily instills a new era of public confidence in politics, but it could instill a new era of public confidence that there are, you know, a few places where the candidates will go out and, you know, not be delivering a strictly managed message. Because, you know, one of the other, you know, issues with debates isn't just whether or not you have them and how many you have, but, you know, what are they like? That, very often, you know, what we find in political debates is they just turn into sort of these situations where the participants circle each other and try and either, you know, trip up the opponent into saying something that they'll regret, or come up with the killer soundbite that everyone is going to pick up and use in the next morning's news coverage. Mm. And and that is by design. That's what happens when the candidates design the debates, as opposed to people who have maybe a different interest in mind.
Let's localize this discussion just a little bit, because a couple of days ago we had two Democratic candidates for the 8th congressional primary here, mm-hmm. Susan Grettenberger and Jeff Hank. They're trying to do exactly what you're talking about. They're trying to prod the media and other stakeholders into holding this kind of serious debate. Let's listen to Jeff Hank explaining the larger aim of an established debate format.
Our goal in this more is to change the culture of politics. And this is a role for the candidates, this is a role for the voters, this is a role for the media. Our democracy functions best when people participate and when people are informed. And unfortunately, we're not at the level that we need to be.
Do you hear a lot of people making that claim, Rick?
A lot of what people running for office, voters. I mean, there is certainly a mountain of information that's available for people to sort through if they choose to do so and try and figure out, you know, what's real and what's spin. What's going on with the Democrats in the 8th congressional district is, well, I mean, first of all, they're not operating from a position of authority. That the 8th is a Republican drawn district, and you know, right now the attention is really on the Republican primary between Mike Bishop and Tom McMillan. Democrats are hoping to, you know, be able to do something that will call a little attention to the fact that Democrats exist in the district and give them an opportunity to talk about what they would like to do. But you know, one of the things about the prospects for success for any effort to force candidates to debate is that the sponsors of the debate have to be in a position of authority to do that. That anyone can call a debate, but you have to have the wherewithal to tell the candidates there's going to be a chair there with your name on it.
Right.
You know, show up.
Command
or your opponent. Yeah, your opponent gets the entire stage. You know, thus the challenge to the news media to do something about it. And in Michigan, the news media has been loath at this point to do a command performance for candidates.
Since we're talking politics here, let me ask you what kind of buzz has been created by the young Snyder campaign operatives. getting busted using the spy cam to infiltrate the fundraising event for Mark Schauer earlier. How big a deal is this?
Oh, I know. And it's like, what was the scene at the beginning of Casablanca? I'm shocked, shocked that campaigns are spying on each other. Look, this is a standard part of campaigning. It may be juvenile and sophomoric, silly, a little sleazy even, but the fact is they do it. The Michigan Democratic Party even has a project that's called the Accountability Project, and they say, and the idea behind it is that they say Republicans are saying and one thing behind closed doors and another thing in public, and our job is to go and get tape of them doing that. The revelation from this particular contretemps is not that the campaigns are spying on each other. It is that that they have tiny little cameras that make that job a lot easier for them.
Mm. What about the latest news involving former Secretary of State Terry Lynn Land, candidate for U.S. Senate, and the mysterious $3 million in campaign contributions? How serious is this?
Well, I guess on a couple of fronts that, you know, it's the Terry Land campaign has suffered misstep after misstep, and they're going to have to alter that narrative if they're going to, you know, have any prospects for success in November. And this has a lot of people scratching their heads because Terry Land's last elected position was Secretary of State, where she was in charge of managing Michigan's election laws and specifically their campaign finance laws, that this should not be a difficult thing, one would think, for them to handle. It's also been difficult for them because, you know, this mystery $3 million, I mean, it's not much of a mystery. We know that it came from the family business, but it's a family business that Terry Land has insisted so far that she played no part in, even though it's her family's name that's on it. Her husband is supposedly the one who runs it, and she claims that she's derived no benefit from it, no salary, no anything like that. And this just seems to fly in the face of that.
Well, the legislature did convene this week. What was the major development there?
There was no major development.
Okay, typical summer gathering.
Yeah, it's actually the House didn't even really come back. That there was a
correct
quorum call.
Yes.
There was not a quorum, and so no one was there. There were no votes in the meeting of the full Senate. There were some committee meetings where there was some activity on medical marijuana dispensaries and perhaps allowing them. There's a little bit of a debate between some Republicans in the Senate and Attorney General Bill Schuette, who you'll remember led the campaign to oppose Michigan's voter-approved medical marijuana law. Schuette is saying that he's opposed to it, although people are having trouble getting an explanation as to what specific objections he has to this dispensary legislation. And we may be approaching some kind of a compromise. It's been the governor versus the legislature on what to do about vaping, e-cigarettes, and how they should be regulated, how best to keep kids from getting them, and how to tax them in a fashion that would be similar to a tobacco product. That's what the governor wants, that the legislature is basically been content to say, you know what, just don't sell them to kids and we won't deal with the rest.
Rick Pluta is managing editor for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Rick, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Oh, you too, Mark. Thanks.